Parks, Labor, and Transportation Department.
And looking around the room, I see I have a quorum, so I'll call the Committee of Public Safety and Security to order.
All right, on the budget agenda, please, so that nobody gets confused, I am removing from the agenda item 9 and 10 for further discussion of this table, so we'll only have items up to 8, and we have a couple items to receive and file. Please, members, look at those items. And Chairman Rogowski, would you take us to item 1 as you...
Well, it's item 1 on mine. On your, it's the same. The agreement of the Hudson Valley County...
Yes, 4490.
4490. Okay, this is... I think we have Commissioner Cullen is here. Well, I'll let the Commissioner introduce the item and introduce your colleague, if you will, to the committees.
Yes, sir. I have Chief Mike Polk. He's Chief of Communications for Westchester County, which is also known as Community Control, and heads up many of our radio projects. We received guidance from State Homeland Security grants, advising us where we could better position ourselves to receive grants. And obviously, they always look at interoperable communications so that one department can work with another or one county with another. This will be able to position ourselves, this agreement, with the other counties to better accept a grant for interoperable communications. There's no specific grant in mind at this time. This just puts us in the position to be more competitive when it comes for grants.
So this is an agreement with, what, four other counties? As a 4 or 5? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sets?
Dutchess, Putnam, Rockland, Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster.
7 of the counties to create this consortium that will position us to better able to qualify as a state or federal grants. So it's a process, but is it possible to say, once this is established, and if you're successful, what is the type of grant project that you're looking for? Can you give us an example of what you would do if you got the money?
We've been actually meeting since January. The other counties, the emergency communication officials, to discuss different projects. When we saw the grant come out and the grant guidance, it was very specific to looking at partnering with other counties. So that's when we first got together. We didn't have a specific project in place, but looking at some of the federal systems that are in place, I think Westchester has some really good radio systems. But it may not be that we can talk to all our other counties at the same time. So that's where we'd look at building something out. Nothing specific at this point, but looking to that venue.
But your priority maybe as much inter-county, you think our intra-county communications are looking pretty good right now, and there's more of a need to be able to communicate. We just had a meeting on, Hurricane Irene and those kinds of disasters. So in the event, Westchester had to work with other counties, the kinds of projects that this would fund would be helpful, is what you're saying.
Okay. A prime example of where we've been successful with this is in the UTAC U-Call system. When New York City Fire Department, or EMS, has a large incident, they may call Westchester County units to fill in fire stations in the Bronx. Up until last year, we couldn't speak to those fire companies or their dispatch down there in the Bronx. So with a new federal system we implemented just this year, it now gives us the ability to do that. So that's just one example of an area we may be looking at.
Okay, so this doesn't cost us any money. It's setting up this agreement, setting up the consortium, then you're ready to apply for money, hopefully get some, and move forward from there. Okay, members of the Public Safety Committee, any questions?
No questions.
No.
It's always... When I first became a legislator, it was post 9/11, and this has been the goal all along, that all communication systems talk to themselves. It seems like we have moved forward, and we continue to move forward to be connected. In the process of being connected, are we leaving some old systems out that may be behind the curve and discommunicating certain groups, or is this state-of-the-art new equipment that we would be applying for funding going to hammer on on municipalities that may not be up to date?
Well, they have to meet the federal guidelines.
Right. It may be a combination of new and old technology. Just because technology is new doesn't always mean it's better. Mm-hmm. I think amateur radio operators are a perfect example that technology has been around for decades. And during disasters, it works. So we don't want to leave the systems behind that work, but we look at other systems to be able to share bandwidth.
Yeah, because I hear even in TV, analog, digital, and how one doesn't necessarily speak to the other or comes out all distorted.
There is standards that they look at to actually mix and match those two systems.
Right. We look at everything. So analog works well for the fire service because they don't get a lot of distortion when they work in those environments. And digital works better for like public safety, law, and EMS. So we don't disregard any technology. We try to make it work for us.
I should point out at the beginning of the meeting that Acting Commissioner Cullen is here because you all know former Commissioner Sutton is no longer working as a commissioner. So Deputy Commissioner Collins, now Acting Commissioner, we welcome him in his new capacity. How many of the other counties have already taken the step we're about to take? Do you know of any that have already authorized their government?
Specific to this agreement?
Yeah, how many have already?
All of them have signed on, with the exception of one.
Okay, so we're waiting, because in 2 days, I know I'm going to a NYSAC meeting with our other counties. Our colleagues sitting next to me here is the president of NYSAC. So again, this seems like another example of counties working together, partnering it in an effort to get that funding. And that's why, frankly, from my perspective, I know from my colleague here, it's important, Westchester, to work with other counties in the state through the NYSAC organization. It's one way we do that. Mr. Harkin.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I would move for both committees.
Second.
Okay. Moved and second both committees. Any other comments?
Mr. Gross, just on discussion, I'm going to support this because I putting into the context of history, we go back 12 or 14 years, and we had... If there was an incident in this county, and 60 control toned out for say a mutual aid response, all of a sudden on the road would be different agencies coming from different parts of Westchester, some neighboring the community where the incident was, others more distant, and on their way, they're not able to communicate with one another. They get the fire ground, and it's possible that somebody's on one side of the building and they can't communicate with the people on the other side of the building. It was a total disaster. And it screamed out for someone to step forward to correct all of this. And I have to say, the Department of Emergency Services and our EIT department over the years, with DES's leadership, have done a tremendous job in putting communications here in this county. I know our goal was, the 95%, 95%, 95% coverage, 95% of the time, and they took us kind of out of the dark ages and put us in a position where agencies responding to emergencies in this county could now talk to one another in route, and once you get the fire ground, they would be able to communicate there as well. Extremely important. This is a natural next step because of simply our leadership role. I mean, history tells us 10 years ago, 9/11, with New York City EOC crashing down in New York City, completely destroyed. The first test of our young department was to stand up and basically lead the coordination of our response outside of New York City as we marshaled all the equipment from here to Albany and Western Connecticut, Northern New Jersey, staging in Lower Westchester, feeding into New York City. As Mike points out, at the time, part of that afternoon, relying on ham radio operators to communicate back and forth. John, at the time, with his responsibilities as part of White Plains Fire, was fully engaged with that department and their help to what was going on. So everybody knew the importance of communication, and our role is clear. Where we are located, we are a neighbor to New York City. We will have new mutual aid responsibilities, no doubt, in the future with them and with others here in the Hudson Valley. So it's extremely important that this interoperable communications consortium be put together, go to work to now improve us even on that level as we work as a both a team member here in the Hudson Valley and also, quite honestly, as probably the leader going forward for the coordination of events that require massive response.
Okay, thank you for that. Is any other comments, any members of public safety or budget for that matter? If not?
Yeah, for both committees, if I may, Mr. Chairman, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I have moved forward. Anything else you're here for today?
Yes, sir.
No. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we're going to go down the budget agenda, and the second item is also associated with Chairman Sarakowski.
Yes, we have it's a bond act for a little over $2 million for security at the community college. I know Legislator Williams, the capital improvement subcommittee. Well, we do have representatives from the college here. Mr. Chairman, if you want, Legislator Williams kind of.
Legislator Williams, as the chairman of the subcommittee on capital projects, has reviewed these items.
We have reviewed these items, Mr. Chairman. And this project, as you know, is a major security systems modernization that the college has undertaken, which, as most of the capital projects of the college, is funded 50% by the state and 50% by the county. So we're not there in the full cost of the project itself. This project, as the college will explain, is a phase project. They've completed phase one. This is phase two. And phase two really undertaken to really do a systematic upgrade of the security systems and the technology improvements so that security at the college will be such that we would not have to worry about. I was pleased with the chairman of the subcommittee to hear the presentation. I think that it clearly shows that this college, the great work that they're doing, they're moving into the 21st century in terms of our security systems. And so I am sure that we will hear the presentation. One question I'd like them to address, and I know that it's probably premature, but just to talk about it, is that, and I didn't raise it at the subcommittee, is that given the President Obama's recent Jobs Act, I know that there are funds in there for community colleges. This is not to say that we should move forward. I think we should. But perhaps if there's any additional work that they might be doing later on, that we might be able to access that those funding if that legislation is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. I'm Pat Campura, the Vice President, Dean of Administrative Services. My name is Kevin Barbier, our Director of Facilities, and Ryan Durant, our Director of Security. As Mr. Williams said, we were here on Friday, and, not to repeat myself, but we know in these difficult economic times, it's difficult to come to ask for money, and I'm sure it's difficult for you guys to award the money. So we said that to Mr. Williams, and we are appreciative when you do meet with us and consider our requests. With WCC 78, the Safety and Security Project, and I'll just describe a little bit about that, and Brian Polanski will give you more detail about the project. This is phase two of a three-phase project. The total project cost is $8,124,000. As Mr. Williams said, the state shares 50%, so the state will pay $4,062,000, and the county will pay $4,062,000. This second phase is in the amount of $4,090,000. So, again, $2,045,000 for the state, $2,045,000 for the county. In the aftermath of the Virginia Tech tragedy, this came to the forefront. It was always part of our master plan in 1999, but again, after that, it came to the forefront. And we've already addressed phase one. The state has already bonded for their share. The county is authorized for their share. Phase two of the state has authorized bonding for their share, and we're here before you today to authorize bonding for phase two. Brian, why don't you describe a little bit about what we plan to do with phase two?
Just to take a half step back and kind of go over the full scope of the three-phase project. When I first arrived as the security director, we had very limited and decentralized security systems. We had very few CCTV cameras. We had almost no security alarm systems, and we didn't have any real sort of access control. Similar to what you have here, where you have to present an IT to be able to an ID card to be able to enter a space. And so what we did is we hired an engineering firm and a security consultant to be able to sit down and really do a full soup to nuts comprehensive security systems plan for the institution.
And phase one focused primarily on emergency communication systems. This was really the priority post Virginia Tech, was just the ability to get out emergency information. So that included digital signage throughout the campus, PA systems throughout all of our buildings, which, believe it or not, we didn't have, and alert sirens on the campus. Phase two is where we really start to focus on more traditional security systems. That's where we start to focus on access control systems, CCTV cameras, alarm points on our perimeter doors. And phase two really focuses on the perimeter of the building. I call it locking the front door before you lock the bedroom. It's important that we be able to do that. It includes controllable door hardware, so that if there is an emergency, we have the ability to lock down the entire campus with a single keystroke on a computer, or we can section out a particular building, certain floors, and things like that. And then phase three, just looking ahead, will be where we start to move within the building and focus more on high-value areas and sensitive things within the buildings.
Very well. And we all heard about it a few months or year ago about this coming down. I think it's a breath of fresh air. And you know, this threat continues to happen nationwide. Somebody switches, flips, and we have had a couple of bad ones. Any other comments from any member of the room? Mr.
I have a question because of the reliability of the commitment from the state. Because these days we see sometimes our money is, you promise certain monies from the state, we don't get them. Are they locked into this? Or?
Absolutely. It's a great question. And phase one has already been bonded, and phase two have already been
at
bonded.
At the state level?
Yes.
Because I noticed the message from the county executive says funds anticipated to receive from the state of New York, and I want to make sure we're going to get them. So thank you. Thanks for answering that.
One question, in line, this is sort of security aside, in line with what Mr. Williams just suggested about the maybe some federal money for community colleges, as you go, hopefully we will hopefully approve this, and as this project moves forward, you're doing all this work, all these buildings, is there a need for the college from sort of a building management system? You know, a larger, you're going to go through all the electronics and go through all the buildings for more of an energy or just overall building maintenance, that doing this project, does it make any kind of sense? Do you have the need to do a building management system at the same time or provide for that in your work? And maybe there's some federal funding to piggyback that on this work? Or are they totally separate things and you're not digging up the road and then going back and digging up a second time?
We wouldn't be. As part of the 1999 master plan, the whole idea was to integrate the building management system into one system. So as we go from building to building, we're using the same building management system. So as part of our energy efficiency project.
So is that system already in place, or as you do this work, is there a need for additional management system to...
Our system is already in place, okay. And then we piggyback on top of that.
Okay, so we're piggybacking the security.
Every time we go back, we're not reinventing the wheel.
Okay,
and like you said, the last thing we want to do is dig it up something, and then go back, fix it, and then go back and dig it up again. We try to avoid that at all costs.
Right. So you have that larger system in place, and now you're overlaying the security system into your existing...
That's correct. Okay. And the two communicate with each other.
Okay.
Mr. Dar?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Budgetary question. You had said for phase one the state had authorized and bonded, and that the county had authorized. I remember when this body authorized, but we have not gone to bond yet.
We don't. At the college level, once you authorize, we're allowed to spend. Whether you actually go out and bond, and I say this respectfully, is not our concern because we're allowed to move forward. We always work on whether the county on a cash flow basis, as long as they pay the bills, we're not concerned whether they bond or not.
Okay, so the bills are being paid.
Exactly.
That's really my question.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
Mr. Williams,
thank you.
To that point.
Yeah, on that point, we raised this question consistently in the Capital Project Subcommittee, and we are assured on the record in every single meeting that the county has sufficient cash to fund these projects way before they go out to bond. All of the capital projects that we've been through, we were advised that the county is in the cash flow is sufficient, more than sufficient, to fund the project. We've asked that out of the concern that of cash flow shortage, and so I want to make sure that the committee is aware of that. And it's been said over and over on the record that the administration has looked into this matter, that there is no issue concerning the ability to go out and get the work done because of the free cash flow that's available. In addition to that, this project, the cost of capital to fund this is about 1.1%, which is probably the lowest cost. And if you leverage that based on what the state is funding, you're talking about less than 0.5%. That you're talking about approximately 0.5% point in terms of the cost of capital to do this. So I think it's really in terms of the amount of cost of the county, it's diminished significantly.
All right, I guess for budget appropriation, the motion is in order.
Move for both committees.
For both committees, and is a
second for both committees.
Who said? Because it, again, Mr. Chairman, I point out, I believe, and I see Larry Solzer. Usually, I'm sorry. Oh, I guess public works on this also. Yeah.
Oh, then I have to withdraw because I'm not a member.
Well, we've moved for two committees, Mr. Ryan.
I'll move it for public work.
I'll second.
Okay, so now we have moved and second for three committees. But the county usually goes to bonding once a year, go out to the market, right? So to Mr. Williams' point, like cash, it's important to cash flow because it's only really once a year that we actually go into the bond market. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
So we need to have that cash on hand to... That's a good point.
Chairman, if I may, for the three committees, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
All right, in the interest of having you here, we have two items in the budget agenda jointly with, I guess that's your final item on the agenda. That's what you
Mr. Nolan, I'll accept your motion to adjourn. Mr. Burden, second. All in favor?
Aye.
The Committee on Public Safety and Security is adjourned.
And we continue on in the budget agenda, item number 4, ID 4608. This is Bondac WCC65 Electrical Mechanical Upgrade. This item, along with item 5, were also reviewed by our subcommittee. Is this one?
Did he say 4605?
But it doesn't relate to the colleague.
Oh,
what
happened to
4605?
Yeah.
You're here for both of them, right?
Yes, sir.
I just do not.
Oh, I see.
All right.
Okay. Well, we can do either 65 or 70, whichever you prefer.
Well, let's start with 65.
Okay. WC65, the electrical mechanical upgrade in various buildings, is exactly what it says. We are looking to upgrade the electrical mechanical in a number of buildings, really to support the construction and expansion at WCC, and also to make the college more energy efficient. In addition, as part of this project, we will be running new computer workstation cabling, as well as fiber optic cabling between buildings. And I'll have Kevin Garfield, Director of Facilities, give you a little bit more detail about that project.
Basically, it's the switchgear and the related equipment in some of these buildings, and we're also looking to upgrade the main switches coming into the campus. As Pat said, we're also going to be doing fiber optic and whatever IP cabling goes along with that.
Total project cost is $4,044,000. The state is funding $2,022,000. They have already authorized and bonded for their piece, and we're here today to ask the county for authorization on their $2,022,000.
Yeah, and similar, right? The state does share 50-50, and that's the question that Mr. Nona said. This is a true. There is a true commitment from the state. We won't be short change on this project. Members? Yes, Mr. Okay.
And so is this more of a question of raising capacity, more amps, more ability to run more and better equipment?
Yes.
So it's real infrastructure. It's not like more energy efficient light bulbs and that kind of stuff.
No, this is the real nuts and bolts of when
real transformers.
Right, exactly.
And panels.
And cabling. And the power cabling between the transformers and the main switch gear coming into the building.
How old is the existing has the existing switchgear already?
Over 30.
Over 30, so this is, you've got the old fuses on there?
Yeah, we have those fuses. Which we were able to, we lost two of those fuses during Hurricane Irene, but we had them in stock, thank God.
So you had replacements for them?
Yes, we had replacements.
Right. So this obviously, so this will upgrade all the panels and give you extra capacity, extra...
That's correct.
Right. You have to work with Con Ed at all,
yes,
or
we
the power authority?
Especially for the main switchgear, we'll be working with them in the design phase. To go with what their specifications are and what they would like to see from us.
And as part of all this discussion that we had at our prior meeting in terms of emergency generators, do you look at your emergency generator issue as you do these upgrades? Is that a separate issue?
Yes, all the buildings are being put onto emergency generators.
Is that part of this or program?
No, not part of this. Part of the upgrades to the other buildings. Like the next one that we'll be talking about is 70, so we have a generator there. So if we have to, we're going to upgrade the generator for that. But all of the main building upgrades all will include some sort of emergency power.
Make sure the locks are on there.
And then
locked it.
Jim or Ryan?
No, Mr. Alvarado. I think it's pretty straightforward when you review the documents that have been presented to us. And also... as you pointed out a few moments ago, that this is not the first time that we have had this discussion. We knew that at some point down the road, and we're here today, that we would be meeting to actually take these items up to report them to the floor, so the full board can provide the authorizations necessary, in this case the bonding necessary, to do this important work.
I'll be happy to move it for the meeting.
So move for budget.
Okay.
Move for budget.
We have public works.
Public works.
I'll second for both.
Second for both. Any final discussion on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? This item's reported.
And as stated before, item moves forward. Item 5 on the budget agenda, 46, ID 4606, a second bond act, a third. WCC 70 physical ed building renovation. Please.
Yes, this is the physical education building renovation improvement project. This building was built in 1965. It's a 67,000 square foot building.
It's as old as me.
Last year, we were here before you to do design work, and the board authorized the design work. We're here today for construction, and what we're looking to do is renovation of the internal part of this building, and that includes electrical, lighting, doors, graphic design to make it ADA compliant, as well as upgrading all of the mechanicals in the building, and that includes plumbing, electrical. It includes the ventilation system for the pool system, and believe it or not, adding air conditioning. This building does not have air conditioning. Again, the total cost for construction is $2,098,000 because the board already authorized design in the amount of $181,000. Total project cost was $2,279,000. Again, board authorized the $181,000, so we're here today for $2,098,000 for construction.
And for the same question, the state is committed and guaranteed to go bonding for the difference. 50% split with a PPU of 15 years. Members. Mr. Argus.
No new scoreboard?
Pardon me?
No new scoreboard for the gym?
No, not part of it.
Not going to know who won, right?
That's not part of this project.
That's not part of it.
We're working on funds for a new scoreboard in another.
Okay.
He plays baseball, so he, you know.
Foul shot every once in a while. Design has been done, or mostly finished by now. So you refer to best practices will be used to adopt most energy efficient systems. I would hope that now that you've done the design.
I just want to correct the record. We're at 30% of design.
All right,
right,
so you're
now.
Just at 30. Okay,
right.
You're at 30%.
Yes.
I know. I'll ask it before Mr. Arkham asks it. We had a relationship with NYPA.
All of my designs go back to NYPA for their final review. And okay. if they see something that they like, they would like us to add, then we do it before they go out for construction bids.
Well,
and we've done that for all of our projects.
Well, I hope that sounds good. But I hope it's a little more. You know what. What is, in fact, the best practice? Because NYPA may or may not necessarily care, not to say anything about them, but you show them something that's good.
We try to.
Do you ask them for the best
Well, we try to build ours to lead silver or better, okay. Not necessarily going after the commitment from the United States Green Building Council.
Okay, but you have that standard.
But we're on those standards, and all of those standards are worked into our design documents. Okay. And so, I mean, I don't. When we go to NYPA, there's not too much more that we have to do for them. They might see one or two things that they would like us to tweak, but when we get to them, they're ready for that to look at.
And again, the reason it's important to raise this question, I mean, I think half the time people are used, but you know, it's not that many years ago that the college put in electric chillers, and probably wasn't the best idea, I think, in terms of electricity. So you know, they always have to ask a question to make sure. You know, we're always,
good question.
Always, you know, on top of it and trying to move into the 21st century. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just to remind the members once again, the in your documentation on the cover sheet, you have a paragraph that appears in the middle of the document, and pretty much summarizes the work that will be performed with the use of this money that will come from the bond issue.
Motions are in order for
so vote. Moved.
Moved by Mr. William.
Approved by the Public Works.
So moved.
Motions are the seconds.
Second. Okay. Second for
Public Works.
For both committees.
Any final discussion? Mr.
Gowski? This will generate, you know, the issue of how many jobs is going to generate. But
it's here.
It's in there.
It's 23.
I'm looking for the number. Yeah.
Third page, 23.
That's important because that's become more and more of our discussion as we look at the public works projects that we as a county can put out in the field that deal with our roads and bridges, our public facilities, our buildings. Even more recently, the important jobs associated with flood mitigation projects, looking prospectively. So that's an important part of the discussion.
Just one point on that. During our subcommittee meeting, that has been a point that we spent a lot of time on. Not only with respect to looking at the FTE equivalence of $92,000, which is the federal standard divided by the total cost of the project, but we've asked for a more robust analysis to be done to focus on not only jobs, but jobs that are created for Westchester residents. We know that there are some restrictions about whether or not to put that in legislation or not. But I think that we have to do like other counties do, and I often refer to Suffolk County, which I follow, and I think they do a pretty good job of trying to ensure the jobs on their capital projects are really directed toward creation of employment within their county. We do get statistics from the Department of Public Works. Those statistics generally run about 67% generally outside the county in terms of the job creation, based on my analysis. I think that we've got to do a lot better job at making sure Westchester residents are employed on these construction and projects around the county. And it might take efforts beyond just, it may take discussions with the contractors that hire, make discussions with outreaching. But I think the county of Westchester, if you're spending this taxpayers' money that are paid by Westchester taxpayers, you ought to be looking to make sure Westchester jobs are created at the same time. And
right.
We do that as the subcommittee. We've gone through this at every single project that comes up with all of the commissioners. And
yeah, very important. And I wonder what the legal boundaries of demanding that type of outcome are, but if there are any legal limitations, we should know what they are.
Yeah, I've already looked.
Yeah. All right. For both committees, if I may, Mr. Chairman, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank
good
you.
To see you. Thank all right. We'll go back to item 3, 4605, grant agreement, FAA, and New York State Department of Transportation, the Eiser truck, and I guess the other two items are also related to public works, and the commissioner is here, so we'll take it one by one. 4605.
Everybody knows Patty Chimka and Pete here from the airport?
No. Patty, Pete, good to see you again.
Pete can go over with you the de-icing issue.
Minister, requesting a replacement of the icing truck. Right now we have a total of 8 trucks. This is the oldest truck we have, and it's in need of a lot of maintenance. Even with all the maintenance that we would do, we'd be lucky to get 1 to 2 years out of the truck. The reason for the de-icing truck is we're required to provide de-icing service to the airlines. What the truck basically does, in case anybody's not familiar with the de-icing truck, is it basically holds type 1 de-icing fluid and type 4 de-icing fluid. The type 1 de-icing fluid is heated up to 180 degrees and sprayed onto the wing surfaces at 180 degrees, and it has a basically propylene glycol in it.
Which smells stuff, pretty good.
It smells pretty, yeah. Yeah, it's like Chinese food, I guess. basically it's heated up, and the propylene glycol stops it from refreezing on the wing surface. During inclement weather, when there's actual active freezing precipitation or any type of active precipitation, the type 4 is put on the airplane to actually stop any additional buildup of ice. And they have anywhere from 5 minutes to 30 minutes before they take off. So these trucks are very important to ensure the safety of the airplane operations. And we have 8 trucks. The reason we have 8 trucks is a lot of de-icing operations can't be accomplished with 1 truck. It has to be done with 2 trucks or 4 trucks at certain times. The reason is the wing has to be started at the same time. You can't de-ice one wing and go around the other side and de-ice the other wing. Otherwise, you have a difference in the weight. Again, it's important to get the ice and the frost off the airplane because it's weight, it's friction when it flies in the airplane, and plus the fact it's a contaminated wing causes the airplane to have different operational conditions that gives erroneous information to the pilot. In other words, they'll use more runway, they may not lift off at the proper speed. So it's a very important piece of equipment for us. Mm-hmm.
All right, and from the financial perspective, it all comes from the airport fund, right?
The action before you is to allow us to enter into an agreement with the FAA. The FAA will actually provide 95% of the funding. The county right now is anticipating that we would be spending 5% airport special revenue fund.
That's what I meant.
We're anticipating also, though, that we would be able to get New York State funds. That's a reimbursement process, though. So some of the language in here also allows us to accept money from the state DOT, providing that they give us the funding.
And that's something that I just wanted to explore for a moment. The act in front of us, the two committees, the act in front of us would authorize our acceptance of the grant from the FAA. And our piece of it, the 5%, 95-5 split. Exactly, the state's piece, if it comes at all, would be a reimbursement. Is that correct?
It's a reimbursement program.
And to what degree would they be reimbursing a portion of our 5% or
yes.
all of the
half.
Five?
Half
of the 5%.
Yes. So okay. It would end up being 95% from mm-hmm. the FAA, 2.5% from the special revenue fund, and 2.5% from the state.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
Keep in mind that the old truck will be auctioned on eBay, and whatever funds comes back from the auction will go into the airport reserve fund. So therefore, theoretically, we could be held neutral to zero based on what we sell the old piece of equipment for.
We could take it up to Peach District and maybe spray people in the summertime as they don't have a pool.
We couldn't do it for a dollar, though.
The question is whether the old truck would go.
Just don't spray them with de-icer.
That's right.
All these trucks have a residual value. There is a market for a mass truck. There's a market for, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We could sell a dump truck that we pay $250,000. We could sell it for $25,000, $30,000. Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Following your description of the process with grants from the federal, from the FAA, and looking to get reimbursement from the state, you want this act to authorize. But the language of the act, Section 2, the county is hereby further authorized to apply for any grants that may be offered by New York State DOT for this capital project. It's a legal question. Is that the appropriate language, apply for any grants, if we're really anticipating applying for reimbursement? I mean, I don't know if...
We may or may not get the grant, Marty. This just gives us the ability...
No, but this is from New York State.
I understand it.
So
the state does consider it to be
a grant. Okay, I'm just saying it's a legal question, yes. Terminology. So using applying for grants from the state is the appropriate language, mm-hmm. even though, as you're saying, as a practical matter, it may be in the form of a reimbursement.
Right.
The legal description is applying for
all state grants are always second instance. We always front the money and we get reimbursed. Mm-hmm. We never first instance the money from any state.
Okay, and I just want to make sure the language is right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, if there's no more comments, moved by Mr. Williams, second by Ms. Myers for budget on appropriations.
Move for Public Works.
And I'll second your motion, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Sure, bro.
For both committees, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Moving right along, we're going to, in the budget agenda, to item...
Since I'm up here, can we do items 9 and 10? Is that still on the calendar, East and West Main Street?
No, those have been removed. Were you here for anything else? Okay, so we go to environmental facilities, right? And Commissioner Lawler is here. And we'll take it down 6, 7, 8, item 4, 5, 7, 8, 4, 4, 4, 6, 4, 5, 7, 9. I'm sorry.
7, 8, or 7, 9? 7, 9.
Good morning,
everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You're alone today.
Yes, I'm alone today. Too many things going on. The first item. Bond Act SYO 37, year ID 4578, is a request for bonding for $2,500,000 for the Yonkers Joint Wastewater Treatment Plant for phase two of the bulkhead restoration rehabilitation project. This is a four-phase project that we started, we've been monitoring the bulkhead at the Yonkers treatment plant. This is the northern section of the treatment plant that was expanded in the 70s. So this is a cellular bulkhead made of steel. They're almost round cells that are filled with sand. And the steel sheeting that faces the river is Mariner-grade steel. We've been monitoring the thickness of that steel since 1985-86. And we've come to the point where we've got some loss of steel, and it's time to actually put a band on the steel in the tidal zone, because that's the zone that gets wet and it gets dry, and that's where the most corrosion is. So it really, it's a stainless steel band, and it's got concrete behind it so that protects us in the tidal zone. There is also a coating that's applied over this repair. And when we did the first one, phase one, we started in 2004, and I think we didn't actually start construction until 2006. We completed that in 2008, and there was some loss of the coating. So there was a concern that it wasn't the right coating. So what happened was we found out that the preparation of the surface wasn't correct. So we had to go back, re-prepare the surface instead of a water blast. It had to be sandblasted, which was in the specifications. And the coating applied, and we had to wait a couple of years to see how the seasons went to see that the coating lasted. It did. So now we're coming back to do phase two. The first phase did probably the cells that needed the treatment that had the most loss of materials first. We did about 13 cells, and we also did some work down at the south dock, which needed some repairs to the pilings. That was the first phase. The second phase is up at the north end. It'll probably do about 10 more cells, and then we'll do phases 3 and 4, and that should finish the project. But this is just for the construction for phase two, because all of the design has been done for all four phases. So, you know, once you have design done, you know what you're going to do. It's just a matter of the construction.
And the total cost of all phases?
It's about $16 million for all four phases.
This is a private 6 and 4, right?
Yes.
necessary to protect that huge investment. I'll be happy to move it since it is my district for both committees.
Second.
And second for
budget.
Budget.
So a second for public works?
Second.
We have a second, Ms. Williams for public works. Is there any final discussion on this proposed bond act? All in favor then for both committees?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, this bond authorization is reported to the full board.
Mr. Chairman, just moving down the line jointly with you, we have ID number 4446, is the bond act.
It's the pump station rehab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 075 pump station rehab, Amaranek SSD.
This is part of our pump station rehabilitation program. This is a program that we've been doing for almost 20 years now. We do about 2 to 3 pump stations a year, depending on the timing. Right now we have these 2 stations, and I think after this one we have 2 more, and then we're finished with the first go-around of the program, but then we'll go back and take a look at the first one, the conditions of the first ones, and see how they are. This particular project is for what we call our West Basin pumping station. This is right at the corner of the Post Road and Orienta at the West Basin at Harbor Island Park. It's actually in the park, underground. The only piece that is above ground is the electrical gear. It's behind the